For music as always. Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you to worship here today on this beautiful Mother's Day. We are so glad you're here today as we come to worship the Lord always and to celebrate our mothers. Let me call your attention to just a couple of things in your order of worship. First of all, on the back of our order of worship, you'll see that next Sunday, May 21st, is our graduate recognition Sunday, and it's also our move-up Sunday. This coming Wednesday night, our children will go to see the classes where they will be next Sunday, May 21st. And so we wanted you know that's happening this Wednesday. And then Sunday, we will have a big day of celebrating our graduates and welcoming our sixth graders into the youth ministry here. Also, Roundtable is happening next Monday, May 22nd, and then our Mosaic and Missions Recognition Service is Wednesday, May the 24th. That's a week from this Wednesday. I also wanted to call your attention to our summer youth brochure. I wanted all of you to have that this Sunday so that you'll know some things that are happening for our teenagers. And I know that many of you are just dying to go to Six Flags with me on July the 26th. So I need you to sign up to drive because we need drivers. So if you want to go to Six Flags, I know some of you haven't been in many years, but it's okay. We'd love to have you go, okay? And as well as our other things going on. And if you'll look on the back, look on the back. Because we don't want anybody to say, I didn't know we were promoting our children and youth in May. How many times have we announced it? About 10 over the last many, many weeks. And it's been on everything we've published. So we wanted everybody to know about Move Up Sunday next week. So thank you so much for being here today. I know many of you are here as celebrating with your children for Mother's Day. I'm so blessed in my own life to have had a godly mother who I miss every day. So I know many of you have memories that you are dealing with today. And we just hope this will be a time of encouragement as well as a time of comfort for you as well. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Would you bless our homes and families? Our opening hymn of praise is number 507. Let's stand together as we sing this morning.
In time, we've come to this particular space at this particular time to ask that you come and fill our lives with your light so that we can leave this space and make all the spaces that we encounter just a little less dark. In the name of the light of the world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
It is great to see everyone here today and to see all the folks who have made their way here to be with your moms. I see a lot of happy moms here today for those who have made it, for those extra special folks who have made their way from out of town today. We are grateful for your presence today. Boys and girls in our Priest Good Choir, thank you all for being here. They're going to lead us in music in just a few moments, and I appreciate you guys being our worship leaders today. If you are visiting today, and whether you've come to visit your mom or visit a family member, whether you're just coming to find a place to call home as a church, we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. You'll find a guest card in our pew racks, and you can complete that card and turn it in during our time of offering or at the end of the service today. We are grateful that you all are here today. And I'm going to invite Bobby to come up and lead us in our Passing the Peace time. We'll share the peace of Christ to one another, and when we're done, our boys and girls will be all set, and they'll be leading us in music today. So let's share the love of Christ with one another.
The family prayer song is "For Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord." Let's stand together as we sing, and then we'll greet each other this morning. Each other this morning. Let's pass the peace of Christ. Let's come together and sing our fellowship chorus again. Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, and please be seated.
Thank you. wonderful boys and girls. And as Pastor Eric said, you're helping us lead in worship this morning. So I want to invite you to lead our whole church in singing that hymn. The words will be on the screen. Y'all remain seated. We're going to sing with them again.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds as music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Amen. And I think they have one more song to share with us this morning.
Wow. Thank you, boys and girls. Y'all did so good. Energetic. They seem more in tune than I do. Fantastic. Well, y'all, it is a good day to be together. And Mother's Day seems to always fall on Sunday. Maybe that's just the way it always does. And so I wanted us just to recognize in the joy of this moment, also there are other emotions that play out in our lives on this day. And so I wanted to just share a pastoral prayer with us today as we think about the mothers in all of our lives. Would you pray with me for a few moments? And now, God of life and love, on this day of celebrating your love, we give you thanks for those who have given us life. Though we may call you Father, let us not forget how often mothers embody your steadfast and relentless love toward us. And so we praise you, O God, for your gift of motherly love, both gentle and fierce, both strong and humble, both kind and true. For those mothers who have joined you in heaven and whom we miss so dearly today, we give you thanks. We are guided by their Spirit, and we remember that you promise us communion with your saints. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are never fully separated from them, and we give you thanks. For mothers who work day and night to raise and care for their children, we give you thanks. We also remember those mothers who labor at this task alone. May we, your church, remember to uphold all families through our life together as a church. For mothers who have lost a child to death and must carry on, we ask for your mercy. May we all sustain these mothers in their time of need and answer your call to reach out to them in compassion and love. For women who are new mothers and those who are expecting children but aren't quite mothers yet, we praise you, O God, for the joy and anticipation of new life. Grant that we never forget our duty to uphold these growing families, that in our shared life together as a church, we may all hear the call to be your disciples in this world. And for all the mothers, all the women who have wanted to have children of their own but did not, we give you thanks for them, O Lord. These women have been living examples of your true love and grace as they have answered the call to nurture and to care for others. We also pray, O God, for the mothers who have failed to live up to their call of motherhood. We believe you are a God of healing and remember that we all stand in the need of your grace. Where we cannot forgive, O Lord, give us strength. And today, O God, we stand in solidarity on this day with all the mothers around the world who have watched their children die of hunger. Every mother who has been a victim of abuse, every woman who stands against a world that massacres her children in the name of war and dares to rename them collateral damage. We lift to you, O Lord, the spirits of all women around the world, even those mothers we will never know personally. We praise your name, O Lord. We lift all mothers up to you, those we have mentioned and those left unnoticed and unmentioned. As we join together in our prayer, O Lord, we are grateful that we are your children at all times. And we pray these words in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I'm thankful for a mother who made sure I was in church and who taught me what it was to stand on Christ the solid rock. She lived that by example, and she brought me up to work to do that each and every day. And I'm so grateful for her, and I know you are for your mothers as well. Let's stand together as we sing the first, second, and last verses of number 406, The Solid Rock.
All other ground is sinking sand. All other
Let us pray. Father God, creator of all that is, you've blessed us with mothers who love us unconditionally, who soothe our hurts and fears with gentle words and tender touch and patient nurturing. Loving mothers demonstrate your tender love and care for your created children. May we give generously and cheerfully of our means to help spread your love throughout the world to all of your children. In the name of Jesus, who loved, so loved the world that he died for us. Amen.
Amen. This morning on the way to church, my mom played a game with me. It was, what kind of trivia do you remember from the middle of the 20th century? I'm not quite sure it meant to be that way, but she played a game. Remember this, Mom? She said, and there was a whole variety of things, but the thing I remember is, what were the two songs that Gene Autry was most famous for? I guessed, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and neither was right. Does anyone else know what Gene Autry's two most famous songs were? I was grateful that my two very terrible guests, that one of those answers was a Christmas song. Anybody know what it is? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And Mama Says, Back in the Saddle Again. Is that it, Mary? Could be. Urban Berlin and Bing Crosby. Yeah, that was one of my terrible guests. Yes. So I gave her a guess, and I'll give you the one. So I said, well, my sermon today is on two people. You tell me who they are related, who they are. And she knew it. We'll see if you do. So today, before I read our scripture passage, our sermon today is on Jochebed and Omron. Does anyone know who they are? Moses' mom and dad. Remember that? It just comes right off of your Bible trivia pursuit, doesn't it? So you know these stories. You probably have seen it lived out on TV during Easter and Christmas time and the Ten Commandments. Let's look a little bit at the scripture passages themselves and think about who these people are that would raise someone like Moses. The scripture passage today we're looking at, first of all, is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. We'll find out that part of the story in a second. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. They were in Egypt. The young boy's sister, the infant, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter, the king of Egypt, went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. And then the infant's sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, the princess answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. And so the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Now, if we go all the way back out of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, all the way through the Old and New Testament to the book of Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews is looking back at all of the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11, 23 says this, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Will you pray with me? And now, O Lord, wherever we are in our lives, may you teach us both to value and to be the courageous parents that you call us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Being a parent is tough work. And so on Mother's Day, it's good for us to remind all of us that it's good, that we need to be good and appreciate the mothers around us. I want you to take a second, just look at the people around you. Not just the mothers, look at all the people around us. Look at their faces well and think, it took a really strong and good mother to raise someone that looks like that, right? Not yourself. Of course, you were the easy one, right? But wherever we are in our lives, in some form or fashion, we have to thank a mother. Too often we take them for granted, don't we? So whatever it does today, call, visit, be with your mom. Let her know how much you value her. And you look at her, you go, look, I know, Mom, it wasn't easy raising someone like me, so thanks. Being a mother or a father isn't for the faint of heart. Parenting requires tough decisions on our part, decisions that are often risky and they can be gut-wrenching. Decisions that require courageous faith. To guide our actions as parents and as family leaders, I would like to reflect, for us to reflect on this mother and this father of Moses, Jochebed and Omron. They're not very well known. We think about Moses, we think about all the other leaders, we think about Mary and Elizabeth, all these mothers in the Bible. We don't think about Jochebed and Omron very much. But despite their low profile, they provide a finely drawn portrait of a mother and a father in faith. As much so that when the Christian writer begins to look back at how we came to the Christian faith and what faith looks like, and begins to paint all these different portraits of all these heroes of the faith, who makes it into the Hall of Fame of faith? But Omron and Jochebed, Moses' parents. Now let's just kind of catch up very quickly on their story. The people of Israel, by the time we see them in Exodus chapter 2, have been in slavery in Egypt for almost 400 years. The Hebrew people have been brought there by Joseph and by his family. They've grown and they've prospered in Egypt, but they've done it so long, they've been there so long, and they've prospered so much that they've become a threat to the reigning rulers, to the Pharaohs. And so the Pharaohs forced them into slavery. By the sweat of their brow, cities like Ramses were built. The Pharaoh had hoped to break the will of the people of Israel, but instead they continued and they prospered. So he began to turn up the heat a little bit. This part of the story you know. He commanded the Hebrew midwives, the people who were delivering all the Hebrew infants, to murder all of the newborn sons of the Hebrew women as they were giving birth. When he discovered that the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, weren't doing it because they feared God, Yahweh, more than they feared the Pharaoh, he tried another approach. The Pharaoh told his people to stay on the lookout for any Hebrew infant boys. And if they saw one, they were to throw him into the Nile River and to watch him drown. So it was during this reign of terror that Jochebed and Omron became pregnant with baby Moses, their third child. She didn't have to worry about the older children, Aaron and Miriam, because they had been born a little bit earlier. But now that Moses was born, any patriotic Egyptian could come and hear a baby crying and take it from its mother's arms. I mean, can you imagine living among such fear? Well, think about the time that Jochebed was called to be a mother. I think about some of our mothers today throughout the world. I mentioned some of them in my prayer today. I think of mothers in parts of Africa who faced the very real prospect of their child, their sons, pulled out of their families, pulled out of their villages, and brought to be child soldiers. Challenging days to be a mom. Though no one today often threatens to kill or steal our babies in America, there are forces, though, which threaten to drown our children. Kids might drown in the river of violence and promiscuity that's being poured out every day in the media that surrounds them. They can drown in the sea of confusion as the lines between right and wrong are blurred in society. They can drown in the competitive culture that rewards performance over character. Every conscientious parent and grandparent here knows how dangerous it is to grow up in our world. Not just today, but in any day. In the dangerous world in which she found herself, Jochebed and Omron stand out because they did they did all that they could to save their little one. They put their lives and their whole family at risk. And then when Jochebed could do no more, she depended totally on the faithfulness of God to provide for them. And so for today, I want us to consider Jochebed and Omron as courageous parents. Models for us of being courageous parents in a difficult and scary world. The first thing we see about courageous parents is this, is that courageous parents must make difficult decisions, and they're willing to do it. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about these parents. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Though the king said that all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile, Jochebed and Omron disobeyed the king, and they hid Moses for 3 months. What a difficult and painful decision that had to be. Imagine trying to hide an infant that every cry could bring the authorities into your home. The feedings, the fear. But somehow, Jochebed and Omron succeeded in hiding Moses. Oftentimes, our most difficult decisions sit in the no man's land between the faith to act decisively and the faith to release things that are out of our control. Trying to discern which is the right course can be one of those difficult decisions that we have to make as parents. It begins when we see that our faith in action can make a difference. Faith sometimes calls us to do risky things for our children. I think of mothers who have been unable to conceive but have seen that as an opportunity to adopt children who might otherwise have spent lives in an orphanage. That's a courageous act of faith. I think of mothers who are married to unbelieving men, husbands, but sometimes defy those husbands in order to expose their children to the truths of God's word. I think of mothers who stand up to a teenage son or daughter, saying no to something when all the other mothers and all the other fathers are willing to say yes. I think of those mothers who choose to give up a lucrative career so they can stay home with their children when everyone around them says that's a crazy thing to do. What gives these mothers the courage to act in such a way that they fear God more than they fear the world? They want to please God more than they want to please their friends or their children or even their husbands. And they trust God with those decisions. They trust that they're obedient to what He's calling them to do in the face of threatening circumstances. They trust that He'll take care of them and their families and their children. And that's exactly what Jochebed and Omron did. In the face of a violent world, they made a difficult decision on behalf of Moses to try to hide him. And they did. But soon they realized that something else was going on. That this decision they had made was unsustainable. They were not going to be able to continue this without putting more and more of them at risk. Something else had to happen. So along with making difficult decisions, courageous parents also must have sensible faith. Jochebed had a sensible faith. After 3 months of hiding her baby, she and Omron saw the handwriting on the wall. They had to do something different. And so they took the reeds of the Nile River and made a papyrus little boat, basket. They covered it with tar and pitch to keep it from water coming in and make it float. And then they put it in the reeds on the banks of the Nile. It's interesting that the word here used for basket is the same word used for Noah's Ark in Genesis. Noah's Ark was covered with tar and pitch, just like this one was. Both Noah and Moses were placed in the Ark, which is not a very safe environment, because the occupants of the Ark are at the mercy of the elements. Arks are not boats They don't have power. They don't have steering. They simply are designed to keep people alive. The Nile was known for crocodiles. At 3 months old, Moses was completely helpless in a river filled with crocodiles. But I want you to notice something, that Jochebed was not careless about this. She was sensible. She didn't just place him floating down the river with some hope that somebody might happen to see him. She placed him in the place of the river where she knew that women were congregate, especially the upper caste of the Egyptian society. It was the kind of place that a baby might be found, sort of like placing a baby on the steps of a hospital. She and Moses' older sister Miriam stood at the distance watching what was taking place, watching to see whether someone would notice and what might happen. And while today we think that was a pretty obvious choice, I think if we look back on it and place ourselves in Jochebed's place, we see what a dangerous and risky step that it was. That for a woman who was desperate to see what might happen. But you see, even in that risky step, Jochebed had a place of sensibility, a place of recognizing that something might just take place, a faith that God might just do something. Part of being sensible is knowing how to improvise on the spot. Consider this story from a wedding that I heard. At the beginning of a daughter's wedding ceremony, the mother was supposed to go up to the front and light the candles. But when she got to the front and began to light the candles, she forgot how close she was to everything, and she lost sense of distance. And so instead of lighting the candle, she lit one of her fake fingernails. It was burning. But instead of drawing attention to herself and pulling away from the crowd, she lit the candle with her fingernail and then blew it out and stuck it in like a six-shooter. She was sort of the famous one at the reception with her black nail. A mother's sensibility. But sometimes the sensibility of a mother is far more consequential. When I think about courageous parenting, the ones who come most to mind for me for their sensible faith are women who are birth mothers. Most of you know now that my mom, Imogene, and my dad, John, adopted me when I was 4 days old. I know nothing about my birth mother. I know none of my medical history. None of my family history. It's easy when I go see Dr. Weaver. What's your family history? I say nothing. Just write a whole X through it. I don't know how old she was. I don't know what part of Indiana she lived in. But I know a lot about her by the decisions that she made and the sensible faith that she held. See, she was able to look forward into the future and see that a different pair of parents would be able to provide for me better than she could at that moment in her life. Others here are adopted as well, and we've talked about this some. You know the feeling that we have, the gratitude for our parents, for our birth parents, for their sensible faith, who were able to make difficult decisions on our behalf. I've been blessed with two courageous mothers, and for that I'm grateful. Thank you, Mama Jean. Difficult decisions, sensible faith. Finally, courageous parents also know there is a time and a place of letting go, of releasing our children to the world. As parents, as Moses floated down the banks of the Nile River, the daughter of Pharaoh arrived with her maidens. The text says that she saw the basket and had it brought to her. She opened it and saw a child crying, and she had pity on it because he was a Hebrew. She could have just as easily done exactly what the Pharaoh had told her to do and ordered her maidens to throw the baby into the river. But what's so strange is that the instrument that was supposed to be of death, the Nile River, for Moses became the instrument that saved him. His mother even follows Pharaoh's orders in placing him there. A member of Pharaoh's own family comes to the river at just the right time and rescues the future deliverer of the Hebrew people. He knew exactly when to cry and to be noticed. And then the baby is reunited with his mother. Miriam comes, tells the Pharaoh's princess that she has a mother who could be the nurse, the nursing mother for the child, and she brings her mom over, and Jochebed actually raises her son for quite a while. When she takes him as a nursing mother, she actually had custody over him until he was able to be weaned. And in those years, and she was able to teach him the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there was a time when Jochebed and Omron's job was done, complete, and they had to release Moses back into the world. There was a moment when they had to take Moses back to the palace, back to a foreign influence. Moses would spend his youth in Pharaoh's court, where he would learn law and rhetoric, mathematics, hieroglyphics, and even the art of war. One of the hardest parts of courageous parenting, I think, is letting go, letting our children go off into the world. Suddenly, we as parents no longer have the ability or the opportunity to control everything in that child's environment and world. There now are other influencers. And our children must now make their own choices and, yes, live with their own consequences of those choices. I've lived through a variety of seasons of children now. But I'm learning, I think, that this season of letting go may be the hardest. A parent's love never changes, but parenthood is a constant process of letting go, of letting your child make mistakes, of letting your teenager learn some things the hard way, of letting your adult child follow God's call, even when he or she might follow that 1,000 miles away. Letting go requires a new kind of courageous parenting and a new kind of faith. And yet, there are moments when we see the results of our courageous parenting. Years after Jochebed and Omron brought Moses back to Pharaoh's palace, Moses led 2 million people through the desert, putting them all in place for a new life for God's people. If you look closely at this Exodus passage, you will notice that God is never mentioned in this part of Exodus chapter 2. Still, we know that he is at work. And there are things that mother and fathers can do, but ultimately we all know that we have to leave it up to God and to God's hands. But let us take heart in this. Moms and dads, grandparents, great-grandparents, take heart. These children of yours will use your courageous parenting to accomplish God's purposes. God's working behind the scenes to accomplish his purposes in your child's life. And even when you don't feel it, God is still there. He will use you and all of the efforts and all of the energy and all the late nights and all the lack of sleep. But it will ultimately not be up to you. One of the interesting things about this passage is the prominent role that women with motherly instincts play in the story. Jochebed saw that Moses was beautiful, so she had to make a different decision. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket and then saw the child crying in the basket and had pity on him. Moses' sister stood on the wings just outside of earshot of the princess and her matrons and saw and noticed what would happen, and she began to act. All this foreshadows what God would soon do for his people. Later in chapter 2 of Exodus, it's God who looks upon his people who are suffering. We're told in verse 25 that God saw, same word, the sons of Israel, and God took notice, same word, of them. So you can say that it's the motherly instinct of God that caused him to move forward to save his people. It was God's motherly instincts to see a people worthy of delivering, people who were in an utterly helpless state, and who was willing to act through the final sending of his death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. Someone once asked a stay-at-home mom one of those hard questions like, so what it is that you do all day? To which the mom replied quite eloquently that I'm barely going to be able to write because she was a much better writer than I. I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments of the transformation of the social order and the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. What is it that you do? Moms and dads, grandparents, great-grandparents, your ultimate purpose as courageous parents is to foster a courageous, sensible faith that will be instilled in your children and that will then instill in them a knowledge of, a faith in, and a love for this God who sees and knows your child, your grandchildren's deepest need for salvation and has decisively moved to accomplish it and has done it all through the gift, the love, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't worry. It's not up to you. God is partnering with you. And for that, we can all give thanks. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to invite Bobby and our worship leaders to come forward as we respond to God's word today. If the writer of Hebrews was to look at you and your life and your faith and how you've raised your children, how you are raising your children now, and what role you play as children in your own families, what would they say about the kind of faith that you hold? How would that challenge you to live differently today in the families in which you are placed? How would it call you to receive that good news of Jesus Christ in your life and to live differently? We have Bobby and our leaders to lead us in one final song. If in some place or fashion God's convicting you as parents, as children, as his children, I'll be down front if you need to follow and respond.
Without him, how lost we would be. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 300.
Without him, I could do nothing. I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Without him, life would be hopeless.
I would like to ask all of the men and boys to please be seated. And I would like for all of the men and boys in this room to celebrate all the women who are part of our church family. Would you give them a clap and a lift for how much we're grateful for all of you? For moms, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and those who aren't mothers, we want you to know that you are special to us, and you are special to this church, and we are grateful for all God has done in you and through you in all of our lives. And we've got some teenagers who are going to go find their places at each of the doors, and we have a special rose for all of the women in our church today. We are grateful for each one of you, and we pray that God will continue to use you today and each day. And we always send us out with a word of sending, where I say, you know, we are, as God's people, we are sent out to love the world as God loves us. You have a very special love to share because of who you are. And we pray that God will use you to share his love this week and every day in the lives of the people that you influence. Thank you. So let's all stand together for our benediction. Let's pray together. And now, O Lord, as we go grateful for the gift of the women in our lives, for our moms, for our grandparents, for our great-grandparents who have loved us and who have made us who we are. Today, O Lord, send us all out as instruments of your kingdom. O Lord, sharing your love one person at a time. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the world